Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome to the show, gearheads. We just watched an amazing British Grand Prix with Lewis Hamilton winning with two laps to go. What a finish. This is John Massengill sitting in the studio in Austin, Texas, joined by my cohort Les Kaiser and Mr. Bob Varsha via Zoom. Les, what'd you think?
I loved it. Wish it had been about three laps shorter, but I loved it.
Come on. You got to give it to Lewis Hamilton at home.
Great drive. Great drive on Lewis's part.
Well, we got to start to talk about the start of the race, man, with that crazy, violent crash from Max Verstappen, with Lewis Hamilton getting penalized 10 seconds for that. And one thing, I tweeted this out, I noticed that collision was so hard with the wall, with the tire wall, because the gravel did not slow down Max Verstappen at all. He literally skipped across it like a rock skipping across the water and hit that tire wall at full impact. Bob Varsha, what do you think? Well, first of all, what do you think about the penalty and Max Verstappen, being taken out by Lewis Hamilton, with the Hamilton being penalized 10 seconds?
I thought it was an unnecessary penalty, really. I thought the commentators on the various media hit it about right. I mean, it's the first lap of the race. It's, you know, two very aggressive guys going for it. Yes, I think Arun Shandok's analysis was the best. Yes, Lewis could have left more room. He wasn't near the apex of the corner as he should have been. Yes, Max could have given Lewis more room, and he didn't need to turn in where he did. I just heard in Lewis's post-race interview that he was fully alongside Max. No, he wasn't. But that's human nature. You know, first Lewis said, I was in front. And then he, you know, thought about it and then realized, well, I was alongside anyway. No, you weren't. And just as he was asked the question after the race, he hesitated before answering. I'm sure he was thinking, how do I respond to this? You know, my rival is in the hospital getting checked out. How do I respond? And again, he said I was fully alongside, but he wasn't. So, yeah, I think the penalty was a little harsh. I think you let him race, but you can't take anything away from Lewis's drive back after that. It's a shame. Max Verstappen is still the championship leader by 7 points, I guess. Brilliant move, I thought, by Red Bull to put Sergio Perez, who was in no way going to score points on the race. So pull him in, put him on a set of the softest tires, and prevent Lewis from getting that bonus point for fast lap, because you have to finish in the top 10 to get it. Perez took it to wherever he finished, deep in the teens, and prevented that. So, you know, it'll be a key moment in the championship going forward, no doubt about it.
And let me run down the order. Lewis Hamilton wins over Charles Leclerc, and followed by Bottas, Lando Norris, Daniel Ricciardo in fifth, Carlos Sainz, Fernando Alonso, Lance Stroll, Esteban Ocon, and Yuki Tsunoda in 10th in the points. Pierre Gasly, George Russell, Giovinazzi, Latifi, Raikkonen, Perez down in 16th. Mazepin finished ahead of Schumacher, and Sebastian Vettel did not finish the race after a spin. And Max Verstappen, of course, after that violent crash into the tire wall. But Les, what about you? What did you think about, do you agree with Bob about the penalty, or what do you think?
I think the penalty was harsh. I think it was a racing incident. And, they showed some camera views and replays of it, a few different areas of it. And I was like, okay, I get that they both could have given, agreeably, but it's racing, so that's not going to happen. But, it's what we wanted to see. that was some of the hardest racing we've seen all year, in my opinion. And then, yeah, unfortunately, two powerhouses came together, and that was the result. Glad Max got up and walked away. But no, I think the penalty was too harsh, even though I would have preferred to see Leclerc win.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's that. But technology-wise, how about how long it took them to remove that car?
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? The car sat there for several minutes, and assuming it was the energy, the battery system that didn't allow them to get near the car for a few minutes.
And the reason I said that is I was sitting there watching it is, why is the car still there? There's nobody really touching the car. And then it was like, ah, wait a minute, you know, around industrial safety, we have that. Don't anybody touch this till we know it's secured for sake of electrical purposes. Then we saw a couple of the Red Bull team members come up and plug into the car. And at that point, you know, my experience, like I said, from somewhere else, says that they are de-energizing the car and making it safe to deal with. And so I think that's what we're going to learn from that state.
Yeah, and Max Verstappen has been taken to the local hospital. I want to make sure we mention that because we don't, you know, we're assuming that Max is okay. He definitely just looked a little stunned, didn't he, when he was getting out of the car. And
I think he definitely got his bell rung. When they first showed his onboard camera from the T-bar, his helmet wasn't moving. And I thought, oh, boy, he's at least unconscious. I don't know that that's true, but seeing him take the time he did to get out of the car and wobble the way he did when he got out of the car, I think he probably spent a few seconds at least in la-la land there. And I hope he's okay as a result.
We thought the exact same thing. We also noticed how long it went without them showing anything up close to see what he was doing or the vehicle.
It was, what, a couple of minutes? Because we saw the same thing, Bob. We were in the studio holding our breath because saw no helmet movement. And then it was at least, I mean, it seemed like longer, but it was probably a couple of minutes before they showed any shot of Max's car and anything. So he definitely,
That's sort of standard procedure for television in the case of heavy accidents. You don't presuppose anything. You don't dig in close. You be respectful. You back out until the situation is fully known. And then you do what you do from there. But yeah, that was well done, I thought.
And looking at the car, the condition of the car, I mean, I haven't seen a car look that bad since Grosjean. And before that, even a long time. Bob, do you remember a car looking that demolished?
Well, given the state of current Formula One design, sometimes I can't tell if a car that's perfectly healthy has been crashed to 10,000 hells. You know, it's just the way the cars look these days. But yeah, I agree. That was a massive impact. The cars all have sensors on them to detect the G-forces, which is then radioed to the medical car that's chasing. So the doctor has some idea of what he's going to be looking at when he gets there. So in the fullness of time, we'll find out just how big that impact was. And it was a big one. I can't recall, you know, other than Grosjean's accident in Bahrain, as you mentioned, one quite so heavy. And that was into a tire wall.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty crazy looking. And when they showed
Grosjean,
it,
an exposed fence.
Yeah. And when they showed it, being put on the trailers when you really saw it. We do have a couple of callers on the line. Let's grab some of these folks here. Let's start with Rob. Hey, Rob, welcome to Speed City. How are you? How'd you enjoy the race?
Oh, it was incredible. You know, I got to agree with you guys. I think Lewis had the position and Max came down on him. I know Max is an aggressive guy, but, you know, the 10 seconds was harsh. And one thing about Formula One that blows my mind is the safety. I mean, that was 51G hit. And he, you know, he's maybe in the hospital. We don't know exactly how he is, but the fact he's not dead right now is a testament to the safety of Formula One. And what a drive by Lewis at his home course. It was just incredible.
Yeah, that was fun. I have to admit, I wanted Leclerc to win the race, but after it was inevitable, I realized this is going to be great for the home crowd and great for the, you know, adding to the legacy that Lewis Hamilton has as winning in front of his home crowd like that. So, well, Rob, what'd you think of the whole weekend and everything, the format and everything, the way it laid out?
You know, I admittedly was unsure how it all worked until, you know, I really dug into it Friday, Saturday, and I thought it was great. I'm a big NASCAR fan. I've just gotten into Formula One the past 2-3 years, and it reminded me a lot of the Daytona Speed Weeks with the duels at Daytona, and I thought it was really cool, and I really enjoyed having 3 days of action to watch, and it just seemed like nonstop. Every morning there was something to turn on and watch, so I was a big fan.
Well, great. Well, Rob, thanks for calling. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you listening.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
All right, let's go to Robert. Robert, do you have a comment on the penalty on Hamilton?
Yeah, I want to talk about the thing that everyone's going to want to talk about after this race. But what an incredible race. Thanks for the coverage, guys. And, you know, I think it comes down to the penalty should reflect what we want to see out of racing. And I know none of us want to see anyone get hurt, but we've got the two best guys in the game right now coming side by side into a turn. And do you want one of the guys to have to back down in order to avoid a penalty? Or do you want to see who can come out of that turn, who has the most guts to ride through it? So I think, like you guys, I think the penalty's harsh on that one.
Yeah, we've been waiting really for, I was going to say all season, but a lot longer than that, to have this exact thing going on. You're spot on, Robert. This is exactly what we want to see, and we finally got it, and let's don't mess it up with a bunch of penalties.
I totally agree. And I mean, we've been seeing these guys neck and neck in the standings, but outside of print, we don't get them to see them race like that to see who's going to come out of that. And they both were determined to come out of that turn in front, and we got to see what happened. And that's the risk of not giving in, is that, you know, you run the risk of being pushed in the wall, and that's what happened. So I think that's fair racing.
It's the difference between golf and rugby.
Fair enough. And I don't watch too much golf. So.
I don't watch either one of those.
But you do. You want that, you know, the phrase came from an old football documentary, I think it was, a sense of battle on a friendly field. No, we're not trying to hurt each other out here, but we want the competition.
Right. That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. So thanks, guys. I appreciate the coverage.
Hey, Robert, thanks a lot. Let's see. We got a couple of regulars on the line. Let's go to George in Virginia. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How's everything? Great coverage as usual.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to use an analogy that some of the American viewers may have an attachment to. I think this was Lewis Hamilton's flu game moment. I mean, he came from adversity at the beginning. I mean, this literally has every type of emotion you want in a race besides great racing. So if you want to introduce Formula One to a novice, this is the race to show them, because it literally had everything. The one thing, my nitpick I would say, and I know we can blame the weather, I never remember seeing so many pit mistakes by multiple F1 teams in a race before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I really missed Hughes. I know it was hot. I know, you know, there was other factors, but that was kind of surprising.
Yeah, I heard the commentators comment on that. Bob, have you ever heard of that, of the heat causing? I've never heard of the heat causing, you know, the gun problems.
No, nor have I. I'm not sure heat was the reason. I mean, it might have been. You know, everything kind of changes its shape when it gets excessively hot or excessively cold. But, yeah, those issues from several different teams getting wheels on and off was curious. I don't think we've seen, not so much we haven't seen that issue before, but the fact that we saw it in various garages up and down the pit lane, as our listener pointed out, it's very unusual.
Maybe one quick thing which was great was hearing Horner and Mercedes plead to the stewards
Total
for
Wolf.
Their position. That Total Wolf, that was beautiful.
That was.
There's another expression that American sports fans are familiar with, working the refs.
That's exactly right.
I was waiting on one of them to jump off the perch and flail on the ground like a soccer player.
All right. Well, that's true, Les.
In agony.
Hey, George, thanks for calling, buddy. We appreciate all the times you've called in and listened. We appreciate it. Guys, let's go ahead and take a quick break, get our first break. And when we come back, we got a couple more callers on the line. We got Andy P, regular, and we got some others holding. You're listening to Speed City Live from Austin, back after these messages.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
We got to get Gunther back on. There hasn't been a whole lot to talk about. Maybe we'll get him on towards the end of the season to talk about
producer,
next year.
Keep your finger on the button.
Yeah. Hey, we got a couple of callers. Let's go to Andy P. Andy, what did you think of the race today and the whole weekend?
Oh, just an outstanding show, I think, from the entire weekend. I mean, I thought the new format, it reinvigorated the Friday. Saturday was fun for what it was. And this race was absolutely off the hook.
Well, I can't disagree with any of that. I've been kind of holding back my own opinion, but I think that if they tweak it, fine. But I think they've stumbled across something here with this format. And I know people are still both sides of this, but yeah, I have a hard time arguing with the race today. It was pretty great. I really wanted to see Max and Lewis go at it more and more, but I have a feeling that had Max gotten out in front, he probably would just run with it. But it was also some good racing behind that too, Andy. What else did you? What about your McLaren team? You happy today?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't be not happy with a P4 and a P5. But I mean, I think everybody in the top six today has something they can be super happy about, and something that they can also be kind of upset about. You know, both McLaren and Ferrari had the bad pit stops. So you know, what would those days have looked like without those? But the Ferrari, man. When that thing gets in hot weather, that's a different car. And Leclerc drove his rear end off today. So I give him full respect from a rival team fan.
We were sitting, we were standing. We were truly standing when we saw Leclerc coming in for the pit stop, just holding our head, holding our breath. It was like, please don't sabotage this. But after seeing, what else had happened. So it was, That was a tense pit stop for us.
Hey, I am looking down at my notes, and it says lap 19, Leclerc turns off his engine because what the heck was going on? What was going on with the buttons in the Ferrari team? Andy, what do you think was going on there?
Reprogramming a car while going 200 miles an hour and trying to watch out for your tires and everything else that's going on. I mean, it's one of the reasons these drivers are the best in the world. And it's just fun to watch them do what they do.
You know, I called out the solution right there. Like we do in the engineering world, you do the dead man, the two hand.
You should never be able to turn off the engine.
You must hit two buttons if you want to turn off your engine at 200 miles per hour.
Hey, Andy, thanks for listening, buddy. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep. Looking forward to the rest of this awesome season. These don't come around very often.
Absolutely.
So
that is a great point. Sure. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, I said that to Les right in the middle of the race. I was just like, you know what? This has just been an amazing season, and it just keeps giving. So we got one more caller holding. Bryn, the producer said you had a really good point from the race.
Yeah, I predicted the Lewis win, so yeah, Lewis.
You can toot your own horn. Okay, it's okay.
You get the credit.
Well, my surname is Lewis, so I got to support Lewis.
There you go. There you go. Hey, well, thanks. thanks for listening. But what else about the race did you want to comment on?
Well, I think obviously I couldn't see because I'm driving. I'm going to watch it tonight. But I think Lewis shouldn't have been penalised, even though it didn't matter. But it gave us a good race at the end when he caught Leclerc. But I think it was just a racing incident. It brought a good race to the end where, to catch Leclerc with two laps to go. I was hoping for a Lewis, a Bottas and a Norris top three, but Norris got fourth, so that's still good. But yeah, I'm biased, obviously, being a Brit, but thank you so much for broadcasting it, because like I say, this year I've just come back into it after over 30 years of watching it, but the last five I've given up, but now I was jumping like a madman in my truck when Lewis was catching him, so thank you so much.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks a lot for tuning in, and congratulations being a Brit today. That was a fun weekend for you and a great win for Lewis Hamilton. Thanks, Bryn.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you again.
Hey, Bob. Yeah,
I was in the same boat. I had to use the bathroom with about 15 laps to go in that race, but there was no way I was leaving the couch, so yeah. I sat there with my legs crossed for 15 laps.
Yeah. I was just looking through my notes, and I saw that I remembered that I'd forgotten, but Lando Norris had a horrible pit stop. What was it, like 6 seconds? And still ended up finishing fourth. So that was good for the McLaren team.
Yeah, Lando, showed what we've been learning of Lando, for quite a while now. And everything played out well. Yeah, short of Max being out of the front crew, Sergio was a loss in that. And so Lando is looking phenomenal to me. I think he's got a long career ahead in this sport.
No doubt. So you were talking about driver of the day,
I said earlier, I thought.
Go ahead, Bob.
Driver of the day. I think you got to kind of go with Lewis. I'm tempted to say Charles Leclerc, but Lewis got the job done. And once again showed that he just is, a generational kind of talent in a Formula One car. I don't want to hear about how great the Mercedes is. Yeah, they did a great job trying to close the gap to Red Bull. And keep in mind that Mercedes has said that these are the last updates that are going to go on this car for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So that, we haven't seen the end of this. And I was thinking of the midfield, big swing in the championship up front between drivers and constructors, but think of the midfield. Ferrari finishes 2-6. McLaren 4-5.
Yeah.
Alpine 7-9. AlphaTauri 10-11. So they didn't get any point for the second place. But this is a huge cauldron in the midfield with tens of millions of dollars at stake, and it's being hard fought while the teams are trying to get their designs together for that new car they're going to introduce next year.
Yeah, and didn't Fernando Alonso have another? He had a great race on Saturday and a great race on Sunday, finishing seventh. That's awesome.
Love it. Anxious to see him back in, and I'm anxious. I'm anxious to see George Russell in a Mercedes.
Look at Lance Stroll. Where did he start, Bob? Like 14th.
Where did Stroll start?
Yeah, I think he started down like 14th and finished in eighth. So Lance Stroll had a fantastic day.
Yeah, 14th.
And he'd just been slumping, hadn't he?
Yep.
And Yuki Tsunoda.
Yeah, and this kind of brings to the fore it kind of brings to the fore that there is a significant difference between qualifying and racing. You had guys who qualify well and then don't race well. I thought George Russell had a very shady afternoon. I really expected more out of him, driving with a little anger after the three grid spot penalty. He's shown so much recently. I thought his race was kind of uninspiring considering what he has done previously in the Williams, but we don't know what problems he might have been dealing with during the race.
That's true. And George Russell, of course, finishing down in 12th. Like I was saying, Yuki Tsunoda finished in the points at 10th. And, you know, it's funny. I was watching Raikkonen when who was Raikkonen have that great battle with? It may have been Perez. When he was it who was
battling
it
with Perez before Kimi was punted? I think there was contact there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Because I was questioning immediately. I went back to some of the penalties Perez has already experienced this season, and wondering if that was going to come up. Mm.
And once again, team orders to Bottas, and he stepped down pretty much as expected, or as asked, I should say. Bob, what do you think about the Bottas and how that plays into his entire future and the way he's been with the team and everything so far?
Well, that's something for folks inside the team to tell us. I mean, depending on which rumor you choose to listen to, either Mercedes has already made the decision and they'll announce it between now and Spa in the coming weeks, or they're still kind of weighing up Russell versus Bottas. I mean, Bottas was good today. I mean, he did a great job, drove a great race. He caused Lewis no problems either yesterday in the sprint race, where, as I mentioned, I thought Bottas backed out to allow Lewis to recover in second place behind Verstappen in the sprint qualifying. You know, today he gave a great effort. No problems when he was told to let Lewis go by. He knew that had to be coming. I think Bottas did a good job. I can see, and another reason I feel bad about George Russell's race, because I'd like to see a resurgent Williams, because I'm thinking what Mercedes might want to do is switch Russell and Bottas and send Bottas back to the Williams team that he raced 4 years ago, especially if it's a reasonably competitive drive.
Yeah, that's a good point. If Williams gets a little more competitive, that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about this, but this is Hamilton's 8th British Grand Prix win. I mean, that is just incredible. I mean, really, that is a stat for the ages, isn't it?
Yeah, that to me is amazing.
All-time best, winning your home Grand Prix that many times.
I was looking for any stats on the crowd size. I haven't seen that yet, but the crowd, obviously, it looked huge. And I was looking to see if Formula One had announced their driver, if the fans, the vote had shown their driver of the day. It was Charles Leclerc most of the race. I don't know if you guys saw that, but I don't see if they had actually, if the crowd had switched to Lewis Hamilton at the end there. And look, when it first happened, when the penalty first came down, and I thought Hamilton's still going to win it. And then at one point I thought, wait a minute, this Leclerc could potentially take this for the win. But man, when Hamilton started chasing him down and was consistently a second a lap all the way down, I mean, and even with that one lap when he was charging the batteries or whatever, he was still like 7 or 8 tenths up. So the pace of the Mercedes was just absolutely no match. You know, that I mean, that there's no way that Leclerc could have held him off. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Absolutely. That was, I was joking around about playing the Jaws shark theme coming up, but you just saw it chipping away. We did the math early on. It's like, okay, it's within reach. A lot of it was based on the traffic.
Bob, what about the tires? You know, we saw that it's how the medium tires blistered up very severely in the sprint race on Saturday after only 17 laps. But we saw, 27, 28, 29 out of some. And Leclerc got how many laps out of his medium tires? It was over 30, if I'm not mistaken. Well, what do you think the difference was, Bob? You think they were just really pushing it in the sprint race?
Yeah. Yeah, there was that. And I think because you're going to throw away the tires after 17 laps anyway. And I think the teams did some of the allowable adjustments under the Parc Fermé rules to, you know, pressures and all that kind of stuff, wings and sorts of things. In fact, I was surprised to hear the commentators during the race talk about what various teams had done to their cars after the sprint qualifying yesterday. I think the teams adjusted to the conditions, to the tires. No talk at all about the rear tires. Remember, this is probably the fastest race since Baku. Well, it's easily the fastest race since Baku, where we had all those rear tire problems. Pirelli responded with a new rear. Teams approved it. And there were no issues today with the rears, as far as I could tell, other than just getting the wheels on and off the damn cars.
Yeah. And so, there was also the fact that I just thought it was interesting the way Lewis Hamilton's, with the Lewis Hamilton crash with Max, how Max's tire quickly deflated and came off completely, came off the rim. Yeah, yeah. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought, I wonder if, you know, we did have a tire change of construction style, you know, of Pirelli after and recent races. So I thought, I wonder if that had anything to do with it. But well, look, we need to take another quick break. Well, we'll continue our discussion about that and all of the rest of the British Grand Prix. Plus, we want to talk about the new car, the 2022 car that's been released, and lots more. You listen to the Speed City back after a quick break.
I am an official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I'm here to say it's time to get personal, people. Tell the world who you are with a personalized plate from MyPlates.com, like me. I'm talking favorite color, favorite team, favorite charity, and, of course, favorite state, Texas. Add your own message, and then the magic really happens. I'm the official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I want to be your license plate. Go to MyPlates.com and order me today. Now that's what I'm talking about.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I'm watching the Formula One Twitter feed and other places to see how Max Verstappen is doing. So, gentlemen, I haven't seen anything on Max Verstappen, but let's go to Drew down in Houston. And Drew had a comment about the sprint race. How's it going, Drew?
Good, good. Hey, I wanted to say I'm a new fan. I found out about y'all at NASCAR at COTA. They played the post-race show out there, and I've been listening every week since. Really enjoy it.
Oh, very cool. Well, so you're thanks. A NASCAR anniversary and an F1 fan.
Yeah, well, started with NASCAR and came over to F1, IndyCar too. But yeah, love the content, guys. So just give a little kudos. But I wanted to talk about the sprint. You know, I think what would make that a lot more fun is if they had some kind of required pit stop or tire change just to shake it up, you know. And you'd probably have to take the qualifying piece out of it, but I think that would really kind of make that a lot more fun.
Okay. I love this discussion, all the different ideas. And what were you going to say, Les?
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that. I mean, that right now I feel like I'm just collecting all these ideas, trying to think how they play into it. That would definitely induce different things. Some people say that breaks up and it's no longer a sprint, because there was something about that brought up as well of what if you have to have two tire compounds during the sprint, even at the shorter lap. I'm good. I'm kind of good with whatever. Let's just keep collecting these ideas. FIA and F1 are continuing to refine and develop this idea.
Yeah, that's the whole idea here.
Hey, I wanted to ask one thing. You said you were at COTA for NASCAR. Have you been for Formula One?
No, but I got my tickets for this year. I'm real excited.
All righty. That's fantastic. Awesome. I want to hear back from you after that and just hear kind of the compare and contrast from you after that trip.
Happy to.
And definitely follow Speed City on all the social media outlets, because on race weeks, we tell you the coolest place to be, and not all of them are pricey. Some of them are you kind of got to know somebody, or you know, you got to follow Speed City to get in, and we always keep the race week busy for you.
Well, you got my business. Don't worry, gentlemen.
All right. Hey, Drew, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Y'all take care now.
All right.
Thanks. And that's when you know he's calling from the right place. Y'all.
Y'all take care now.
He's stealing my line.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you, going through all of this, I mean, have you heard any of the comments like from just now, from those callers? Have you heard anything that you think we maybe should implement into the sprint race? Anything in particular?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it is, I hate the phrase, it is what it is, but, you know, it's what Formula One wanted to do. Ross Braun, who's the head of Formula One technology and competition, or whatever the heck his business card says, he loves it. He said he thinks the fans love it. So I think they're pretty pleased with what they've got. Doesn't mean they can't tweak it a little bit. And I'm hearing some interesting ideas. But, I mean, of course, like anybody, I like my own idea, which is lock in the front row Friday, race for a position on Saturday, and then on Sunday have the Grand Prix. I think there's a perception out there that somehow sprint qualifying, by even calling it a race, somehow detracts from the Grand Prix that weekend. And I don't think that's the case. At least it doesn't to me. I know what it is. You know, it's meant to be entertainment. It's meant to be competition. You know, it's something fun and significant at the same time, in that it sets the grid for Sunday's Grand Prix. But there's no challenging the Grand Prix and its importance to the weekend. So I'm not sure what the sensitivity is all about.
I can't agree more, because who cares? Why don't, even if it's, it is a race, let's face it, it's a race. It just has less significance. Yeah. What do we care about what it's called? I don't see why that's even a worry at all. Looks like we've got another caller on the line. Mike from Montana. Oh, this is our Corvette hauler, Mike. Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm having a great day. How about you guys?
We're having a fantastic day after that race. Are you kidding? This weekend?
That's what I was just telling your producer on the phone, that this is all, as I've told you guys, it used to be you're solely by yourself with a cup of coffee and the dog, and now we've got people from America that are talking before and after the race. Oh, I'm loving it.
There you go.
Mike, have you seen the ESPN numbers? I was reading. I told these guys. I tweeted out this weekend a tweet from an article to the New York Times, where Luke Smith did an article all about how Netflix and Drive to Survive has raised that level of American attention, but also the ESPN numbers. How we've gone from averaging around 600,000, maybe even less. I think it was under 600,000 viewers last year and year before, to almost 1 million viewers this year. So you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it?
And what I'm thinking is Speed City is doing their duties not by themselves.
Well, thank you, sir. We take that seriously, because we do. Thank you, producer. We do. And we're providing a place for you guys to talk before and after the race.
Right, and it is just having to listen to it. At first, I said, okay, yeah, it sounds like a racing incident, because they went hard at it. And then, of course, I'm a little aggravated with Sky being so favorite for their, and they started throwing all the things that Max did wrong. And then after hearing you guys and describing it and all, I'm thinking it really was harsh for Hamilton. But it was, I think, a real fair fight for first. And as someone said earlier, you know, Hamilton the past few races has given maybe a little to let Max continue to go, thinking that he had the equipment to go back after him, but that proved false. So I don't think he really had any choices. Someone had to come out the victor.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one last question. What do you think about Helmut Marko saying that Lewis Hamilton should just be like just totally eviscerated, and what was he saying, a race ban and everything
suspended
else?
Suspended for a race.
Suspended, yeah.
I'm thinking he's having a knee-jerk reaction. He's got to sit back, have a bourbon, and then say, well, you know, maybe I didn't let it all soak in.
Or maybe he'd already had the bourbon. Maybe that was the problem.
Well, you know, that was the comment that spurred me to think that this is where we need to see him drop off the perch and roll around on the floor like a soccer player, you know, because I was like, that is so overdone. Suspension for that is ridiculous.
Yeah,
so.
little over the top. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. Be safe out there on the road hauling Corvettes. We talk to you soon. And we have another caller. We've got Jay. What's going on? You got another take on today?
Yeah, I think Lewis should have backed out, man. That was Max's line going in. Max had the lead. It was Max's line going in. Lewis should have gave to him, and I kind of agree with the 10-second penalty because he could have killed the guy. And I did hear you guys talk about another really bad wreck. I can't remember who it was. I think it was 2016 in Japan. He went under the bulldozer that was cleaning up a different car, and he actually got killed from it.
Oh, yeah, true.
That was another really bad one.
Yeah.
I think it was 16.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah, that's about
there
right.
There was another really close one.
Yeah,
there was another really close one that you guys were talking about that I thought of and everything, but I think it was Max's line. I'm actually driving. My brother-in-law saw it. I was listening to it. I believe it was Max's line, and Lewis should have backed out. And then he did the same move two more times on LeClaire and his teammate. That's a dangerous move in that turn at those stages, man.
Yep.
What was that, Bob?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. And there's certainly room for that opinion, given the situation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. There's absolutely room for that opinion. That's a good way to put it because, I mean, look, they have to slow that down to crazy frames per second to start looking at where Hamilton's car was next to Max and all that. And I don't have any problem with anybody's opinion on that. Jay, thanks. We appreciate you calling. Gentlemen, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue that discussion and lots more. You're listening to Speed City, back after a quick break.
USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
Welcome to Name Your License Plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to talk about... Now, we got basketball this weekend, guys. I want to talk basketball. Okay, not really.
I want to
talk about the Phoenix Suns because I was looking at the McLaren car and it's got Phoenix Suns stickers all over it. I was like, what is up with that? And I had to go digging, but Bob, you had already done the digging on that, hadn't you?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. I actually texted Zach Brown, who, as we know, was home this weekend because of a COVID infection. But he confirmed that they have an investor in the team who lives in Phoenix and is also a part owner of the Phoenix Suns NBA team. So Zach said, you know, as a nod to him, they went ahead and put the stickers on the car, which is kind of fun. The guy's name is, I saw it somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I think I even put
American
it in
the gentleman.
Yep. I saw it too, Bob. I put it in the show doc here. I'll see if I can grab it here. But yeah.
His name is John Najafi.
Yep.
And obviously, he's a very wealthy individual.
Yeah, he's a vice chairman of McLaren Racing in his role with MSP Sports Capital. So one of those investment houses that has a shareholder, the shareholder in McLaren Racing. So I just thought
another
that was
American involvement in Formula One.
Exactly. Exactly. What I was talking about. And there's been so much, you know, in the first few years of doing this show, Bob, we started in 2012. We had to seek out any sort of American involvement. Now I can't even keep up with it all. There's so many different, you know, we've got two different, you know, those investment companies like that. And, you know, investment banks or whatever they are. You know, one involved in Williams and Doralton Capital. Now we got these guys involved in McLaren. And
yeah, a new technology company has partnered up with Alpine.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I am an official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I'm here to say it's time to get personal, people. Tell the world who you are with a personalized plate from MyPlates.com, like me. I'm talking favorite color, favorite team, favorite charity, and of course, favorite state, Texas. Add your own message, and then the magic really happens. I'm the official Texas license plate from MyPlates.com, and I want to be your license plate. Go to MyPlates.com and order me today. Now that's what I'm talking about.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
I'm watching the Formula One Twitter feed and other places to see how Max Verstappen is doing. So, gentlemen, I was still haven't seen anything on Max Verstappen, but let's go to Drew down in Houston. And Drew had a comment about the sprint race. How's it going, Drew?
Good, good. Hey, I wanted to say I'm a new fan. I found out about y'all at NASCAR at COTA. They played the post-race show out there, and I've been listening every week since. Really enjoy it.
Oh, very cool. Well, so you're thanks. A NASCAR analyst and an F1 fan.
Yeah, well, started with NASCAR and came over to F1, IndyCar too. But yeah, I love the content, guys, so just give a little kudos. But I wanted to talk about the sprint. You know, I think what would make that a lot more fun is if they had some kind of required pit stop or tire change just to shake it up, you know. And you'd probably have to take the qualifying piece out of it, but I think that would really kind of make that a lot more fun.
Okay. I love this discussion. All the different ideas. And what were you going to say, Les?
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that. I mean, that right now I feel like I'm just collecting all these ideas, trying to think how they play into it. That would definitely induce a different thing. Some people say that breaks up and it's no longer a sprint, and because there was something about that brought up as well of what if you have to have two tire compounds during the sprint, even at the shorter lap. I'm good. I'm kind of good with whatever. Let's just keep collecting these ideas. FIA and F1 are continuing to refine and develop this idea.
Yeah, that's the whole idea here.
Hey, I wanted to ask one thing. You said you were at COTA for NASCAR. Have you been for Formula One?
No, but I got my tickets for this year. I'm real excited.
All righty, fantastic. Awesome. I want to hear back from you after that and just hear kind of the compare and contrast from you after that trip.
Happy to.
And definitely follow Speed City on all the social media outlets, because on race weeks, we tell you the coolest place to be, and not all of them are pricey. Some of them are, you kind of got to know somebody, or, you know, you got to follow Speed City to get in, and we always keep the race week busy for you.
Well, you got my business. Don't worry, gentlemen.
All right. Hey, Drew, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Y'all take care now.
All right.
Thanks. And that's when you know he's calling from the right place. Y'all
take care now.
Stealing my line.
Hey, Bob, let me ask you, going through all of this, I mean, have you heard any of the comments like from just now, from those callers? Have you heard anything that you think we maybe should implement into the sprint race? Anything in particular?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it is, I hate the phrase, it is what it is, but, it's what Formula One wanted to do. Ross Braun, who's the head of Formula One technology and competition, or whatever the heck his business card says, he loves it. He said he thinks the fans love it. So I think they're pretty pleased with what they've got. Doesn't mean they can't tweak it a little bit. And I'm hearing some interesting ideas, but I mean, of course, like anybody, I like my own idea, which is lock in the front row Friday, race for a position on Saturday, and then on Sunday have the Grand Prix. I think there's a perception out there that somehow sprint qualifying, by even calling it a race, somehow detracts from the Grand Prix that weekend. And I don't think that's the case. At least it doesn't to me. I know it is. You know, it's meant to be entertainment. It's meant to be competition. You know, it's something fun and significant at the same time, in that it sets the grid for Sunday's Grand Prix. But there's no challenging the Grand Prix and its importance to the weekend. So I'm not sure what the sensitivity is all about.
I can't agree more, because who cares? Why don't, even if it's, it is a race, let's face it, it's a race. It just has less significance. What, you know, what do we care about what it's called? I don't think that, I don't see why that's even a worry at all. Looks like we've got another caller on the line. Mike from Montana. Oh, this is our Corvette hauler, Mike. Hey, Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, I'm having a great day. How about you guys?
We're having a fantastic day after that race. Are you kidding? And this weekend?
That's what I was just telling your producer on the phone, that this is all, it's, as I've told you guys, it used to be you're solely by yourself with a cup of coffee and the dog. And now we've got people from America that are talking before and after the race. Oh, I'm loving it.
There you go.
Mike, have you seen the ESPN numbers? I was reading. I told these guys. I tweeted out this weekend a tweet from an article to the New York Times, where Luke Smith did an article all about how Netflix and Drive to Survive has raised that level of American attention, but also the ESPN numbers. How we've gone from averaging around 600,000, maybe even less. I think it was under 600,000 viewers last year and year before, to almost 1 million viewers this year. So you're absolutely right. Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it?
And what I'm thinking is Speed City is doing their duties by themselves.
Well, thank you, sir. We take that seriously, because we do. Thank you, producer. We do. And we're providing a place for you guys to talk before and after the race.
Right, and it is just having to listen to it. At first, I said, okay, yeah, it sounds like a racing incident, because they went hard at it. And then, of course, I'm a little aggravated with Sky being so favorite for their, and they started throwing all the things that Max did wrong. And then after hearing you guys and describing it and all, I'm thinking it really was harsh for Hamilton. But it was, I think, a real fair fight for first. And as someone said earlier, Hamilton the past few races has given maybe a little to let Max continue to go, thinking that he had the equipment to go back after him, but that proved false. So I don't think he really had any choices. Someone had to come out the victor.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, one last question. What do you think about Helmut Marko saying that Lewis Hamilton should just be like just totally eviscerated, and what was he saying, a race ban and everything
suspended
else?
For a race.
Suspended, yeah.
I'm thinking he's having a knee-jerk reaction. He's got to sit back, have a bourbon, and then say, well, maybe I didn't let it all soak in.
Or maybe he'd already had the bourbon. Maybe that was the problem.
Well, that was the comment that spurred me to think that this is where we need to see him drop off the perch and roll around on the floor like a soccer player, because I was like, that is so overdone. Suspension for that is ridiculous.
Yeah,
so.
little over the top. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy. Be safe out there on the road hauling Corvettes. We talk to you soon. And we have another caller. We've got Jay. What's going on? You got another take on today?
Yeah, I think Lewis should have backed out, man. That was Max's line going in.
Max had the lead. It was Max's line going in. Lewis should have gave to him, and I kind of agree with the 10-second penalty because he could have killed the guy. And I did hear you guys talk about another really bad wreck. I can't remember who it was. I think it was 2016 in Japan. He went under the bulldozer that was cleaning up a different car, and he actually got killed from it.
Oh, yeah,
true. That was another really bad one.
Yeah.
I think it was 16.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yeah, that's about right.
There was another really close one.
Yeah,
there was another really close one that you guys were talking about that I thought of and everything, but I think it was Max's line. I'm actually driving. My brother-in-law saw it. I was listening to it. I believe it was Max's line, and Lewis should have backed out. And then he did the same move two more times on LeClaire and his teammate. That's a dangerous move in that turn at those stages, man.
Yep.
What was that, Bob?
I get what you're saying. Yeah. And there's certainly room for that opinion, given the situation.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There's absolutely room for that opinion. That's a good way to put it because, I mean, look, they have to slow that down to crazy frames per second to start looking at where Hamilton's car was next to Max and all that. And I don't have any problem with anybody's opinion on that. Jay, thanks. We appreciate you calling. Gentlemen, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue that discussion and lots more. You're listening to Speed City, back after a quick break.
USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Welcome to Name Your License Plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to talk about, now we got basketball this weekend, guys. I want to talk basketball. Okay, not really. I want to talk about the Phoenix Suns because I was looking at the McLaren car and it's got Phoenix Suns stickers all over it. I was like, what is up with that? And I had to go digging, but Bob, you had already done the digging on that, hadn't you?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. I actually texted Zach Brown, who, as we know, was home this weekend because of a COVID infection. But he confirmed that they have an investor in the team who lives in Phoenix and is also a part owner of the Phoenix Suns NBA team. So Zach said, you know, as a nod to him, they went ahead and put the stickers on the car, which is kind of fun. The guy's name is, I saw it somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I think I even put it in there.
Gentlemen.
Yep. I saw it too, Bob. I put it in the show doc here. I'll see if I can grab it here. But yeah.
His name is John Najafi.
Yep.
And obviously, he's a very wealthy individual.
Yeah, he's a vice chairman of McLaren Racing in his role with MSP Sports Capital. So one of those investment houses that has a shareholder in McLaren Racing. So I just thought
another
that was
American involvement in Formula One.
Exactly. Exactly. What I was talking about. And there's been so much. You know, in the first few years of doing this show, Bob, we started in 2012. We had to seek out any sort of American involvement. Now I can't even keep up with it all. There's so many different, you know, we've got two different, you know, those investment companies like that, and, you know, investment banks or whatever they are, you know, one involved in Williams and Doralton Capital. Now we got these guys involved in McLaren. And
yeah, a new technology company has partnered up with Alpine, an American-based company. So yeah.
And our own sponsor, CrowdStrike.
Continues to become a more American sport, at least up in the luxury boxes and deep in the garages and out on the pit wall, if not in the race cars.
Well, what do you think about, you know, we had that caller earlier in the show talking about how he was fascinated by the sport because I think he said he liked the science of it and the technology. What do you think about that? I mean, don't you think that America is kind of nerdy in that way? And that's why I think that Formula One is just ripe for growth here?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mentioned in our morning show pre-race that one of the tweets that I saw about the whole sprint qualifying business was somebody saying, well, they just should get everybody equal cars and then see what happens. I mean, no, that's there is that. That's IndyCar.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We've already got that.
That's NASCAR. That's not Formula One. Formula One is, yeah, it's an athletic competition. It's a driving competition, but it's also a technology competition. It's garage wars. You have to get out there. You have to raise the money. You have to design and build your own car, grab an engine from somewhere and go racing. But you're not going to, you know, grab a chassis off the shelf that's the same as the one everybody else has. That's just not Formula One.
Well, I mean, auto racing was built really on that formula, if you think about it, because, you know, we always wanted, you know, it got to the point where we always wanted the fastest engine and the best technology, and it was always this technology race. But we got to a point with NASCAR and IndyCar, it's like there's limitations to some degree of facilities and everything else, but
creativity.
I love IndyCar, right? And NASCAR is fun to watch too, but I want Formula One to always be that. I always want it to be pushing and striving for the highest technology. When you see the G forces on the screen, you know, you have 5.6 G's or whatever. And you know that no other sport is even close to that now. Yeah, IndyCar's had some really high top speeds. And, you know, if we had the circuits for it, you know, you could say, all right, F1 car can be a 300-mile-an-hour car or whatever. But I just want my Formula One to be the pinnacle of technology.
You know, it's funny. So last week I watched the Carrera Cup, the European version, at Zandvoort, where the F1 guys are going. And they put in that banked curve. Now, it's not a Daytona-style, you know, speedway bank curve, but it's pretty banked for anything that Formula One's been on. I'm really anxious to see what they do with this, what the speed does and what the G-force, you know, comes through as on that system. It's going to be amazing. And again, technology in a different environment.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of our sport and the future of our sport, what did you guys think of the 22 car? What do you think, Les? I'll start with you.
I like it. In particular, I like the 18-inch wheels. I mean, we're not going for, you know, dubs or spinning hubs on it, but I like it. It's more understandable. It's more recognizable. It also puts control back in the engineering of the vehicle and the suspension versus leaving those giant sidewalls to the tire manufacturer to manage. And so from a driver's and a car owner stand, I think they're going to love that.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think the underbody tunnels and the greater use of grip from the actual chassis means they can do away with all of the side pod clutter and the floors and whatnot that have sprouted on all Formula One cars in recent years. It's sleek. It's simple. Every team will have its own variation because that's not the actual car. That's the concept. And then all the engineers dig through the rule books and they try to do an end run about all of the rules because the classic phrase is, it tells you what you can do. The rules don't tell you. They tell you what you can't not do. They don't tell you what you can do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the design is inspired. I think we'll all love it when it comes along. There'll be bumps in the road, but I think it's a good direction for them to go in. And then keep in mind, in 2025, 2026, we'll get a new generation of Formula One powertrains. And those discussions are going on right now.
I cannot wait for those discussions.
So out at the Circuit of Americas yesterday, I had a great time sitting with some of the folks that listen, and they brought up, what do you think about Porsche? Well, we've talked about it before. Well, Porsche was involved in helping define the power unit specs coming up and the technology. And so do I think they're going to come back to F1 on their own? No, I don't think we're going to see a Porsche-branded car out there. But I would not put it past them to use the technology that they've learned in WEC and so many others and put power units out for somebody's use.
Mm. Well, keep in mind, Porsche has announced a top flight endurance sports car program. They're going to have a, you know, Le Mans Daytona hybrid or hypercar or whatever they want to call it out there. And IMSA, the International Motorsports Association, who own the WeatherTech series, have announced that they and the Automobile Club of the West, who run the 24 Hours of Le Mans, are now in agreement about allowing these cars to run in both series. So the great days are coming for endurance sports car racing, but for a company the size of Porsche, managing that kind of a prototype effort and a Formula One program is kind of out of the question. But I like Les's idea. Somebody wants to write a big enough check, by God, we'll put a few engineers on it over at Luffinghausen or wherever, and don't put it past them to come up with something sweet.
Now, I'm like you, Les. I'm enthusiastic about having the Porsche brand back in Formula One. I just don't know how they'll make it work. If they can just keep selling SUVs, more and more, that's what we want.
Oh, gee.
Hey, going back to the 22 car, you know, I was talking about how Formula One's the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, everything. Well, we had to do something about the wheel size, Les, because we were running 13-inch tire, 13-inch rims. You can't be the cutting edge.
I've seen those on golf carts now.
Exactly. So, yeah. Hey, did you guys think about this? Bob, you mentioned IndyCar a couple times here. I saw an article, I forgot what, I think it was Auto Week, where they were talking about that IndyCar has made a mistake in this what, 5-week break? I mean, they kind of like, their point was that IndyCar has just fallen off the radar. I mean, what do you think about that, Bob, as far as, you know, 5 weeks, does it completely remove you from the landscape? Is that a bad thing?
Well, yeah, it's not ideal. I think anybody would agree. But the fact is their television partner is NBC, and they've got, you know, some contests going on over in Tokyo that they are going to devote all day, every day for 2 weeks to. So, IndyCar kind of had to move aside. And they canceled their Toronto race at Exhibition Place, which did them no good either. So, yeah, they've got like 5 weeks, I think the number is, before they race again on national television. And, you know, that's just the way it is. That's part of their deal with NBC.
Hey, Bob, we've just got a little bit of time, a couple of minutes left. But before we wrapped up, I wanted to ask you about Carlos Rodemann. I know that, you know, he passed away this past week at 79 years old. And I know you wanted to comment on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, Carlos Rodemann, one of the great names and one of the lesser appreciated names, I think, in Formula One. I never met the man, but my old pit reporter in the ESPN Formula One days was Peter Windsor, who had been a Williams team manager and who knew Carlos very well. In fact, when Peter and Ken Anderson decided to start the USF1 Formula One team back in 2010, Peter called on Carlos Reutemann, a six-time Grand Prix winner, raced for four different terrific teams, but now a politician in his native Argentina. And Peter and Carlos together found the funding from the government, as I recall, of Argentina to fund driver Jose Maria Lopez, who was going to be one of the USF1 drivers before the whole project totally imploded. Of course, Lopez has gone on to fortune as an endurance driver with Toyota. But Carlos Reutemann was a great driver. His former teammates had nothing but good things to say about him, including Mario Andretti, who teamed with him at Lotus back in the day. It's a big loss. Carlos Reutemann, another historic race-winning figure from Formula One who is now, you know, gone to the ages.
Yep. Well, I appreciate you keeping us updated on that. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank the folks that are watching on YouTube right now. We've got Christian and Winston and Justin and a few more, and I want to thank you all for tuning in. We got some comments there, so we're going to start monitoring that as well. Thanks, everybody who tuned in on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. And if you don't mind, give us a like and give us a follow on those platforms. That'll help us out. And thanks a lot to everyone who called. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And, of course, we will be Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Central every Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Everything's a subscription now. Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
Welcome to Name Your License Plate. I'm Biff Biffington. All right, Mary Lou, for the cash, the trip, and a new car, name your license plate.
Easy. My plate is ADD24. ACL, ATM, ABC, ACDC, AAA. I can't remember my plate.
You should have gotten a personal Texas plate from MyPlates.com. They're so memorable.
And I could have saved 40% with a 5-year commitment.
Be a winner and order your personalized license plate from MyPlates.com.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Gene Haas, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to talk about... Now, we got basketball this weekend, guys. I want to talk basketball. Okay, not really.
I want to
talk about the Phoenix Suns because I was looking at the McLaren car and it's got Phoenix Suns stickers all over it. I was like, what is up with that? And I had to go digging, but Bob, you had already done the digging on that, hadn't you?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. I actually texted Zach Brown, who, as we know, was home this weekend because of a COVID infection. But he confirmed that they have an investor in the team who lives in Phoenix and is also a part owner of the Phoenix Suns NBA team. So Zach said, you know, as a nod to him, they went ahead and put the stickers on the car, which is kind of fun. The guy's name is, where did I saw it somewhere.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. I think I even put
American
it in
the gentleman.
Yep. I saw it too, Bob. I put it in the show doc here. I'll see if I can grab it here. But yeah. His name
is John Najafi.
Yep.
And obviously, he's a very wealthy individual.
Yeah, he's a vice chairman of McLaren Racing in his role with MSP Sports Capital. So one of those investment houses that has the shareholder in McLaren Racing. So I just thought
another
that was
American involvement in Formula One.
Exactly what I was talking about. And there's been so much. You know, in the first few years of doing this show, Bob, we started in 2012, we had to seek out any sort of American involvement. Now I can't even keep up with it all. There's so many different, you know, we've got two different, you know, those investment companies like that and, you know, investment banks or whatever they are, you know, one involved in Williams and Doralton Capital. Now we got these guys involved in McLaren And
yeah, a new technology company has partnered up with Alpine, an American-based company. So yeah.
And our own sponsor, CrowdStrike.
Continues to become a more American sport, at least up in the luxury boxes and deep in the garages and out on the pit wall, if not in the race cars.
Well, what do you think about, you know, we had that caller earlier in the show talking about how he was fascinated by the sport because I think he said he liked the science of it and the technology. What do you think about that? I mean, don't you think that America is kind of nerdy in that way? And that's why I think that Formula One is just ripe for growth here.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mentioned in our morning show pre-race that one of the tweets that I saw about the whole sprint qualifying business was somebody saying, well, they just should get everybody equal cars and then see what happens. I mean, no, that's there is that. That's IndyCar.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We've already got that.
That's NASCAR. That's not Formula One. Formula One is, it's an athletic competition. It's a driving competition, but it's also a technology competition. It's garage wars. You have to get out there. You have to raise the money. You have to design and build your own car, grab an engine from somewhere and go racing. But you're not going to, grab a chassis off the shelf that's the same as the one everybody else has. That's just not Formula One.
Well, I mean, auto racing was built really on that formula, if you think about it, because, we always wanted, it got to the point where we always wanted the fastest engine and the best technology, and it was always this technology race. But we got to a point with NASCAR and IndyCar, it's like there's limitations to some degree of facilities and everything else. But
creativity.
I love IndyCar, right? And NASCAR is fun to watch too, but I want Formula One to always be that. I always want it to be pushing and striving for the highest technology. When you see the G-forces on the screen, you have 5.6 Gs or whatever. And, you know that no other sport is even close to that now. Yeah, IndyCar's had some really high top speeds. And, if we had the circuits for it, you could say, all right, F1 car can be a 300-mile-an-hour car or whatever. But I just want my Formula One to be the pinnacle of technology.
It's funny. So last week I watched the Carrera Cup, the European version, at Zandvoort, where the F1 guys are going. And they put in that banked curve. Now, it's not a Daytona-style, speedway bank curve, but it's pretty banked for anything that Formula One's been on. I'm really anxious to see what they do with this, what the speed does and what the G-force, comes through as on that system. It's going to be amazing. And again, technology in a different environment.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of our sport and the future of our sport, what did you guys think of the 22 car? What do you think, Les? I'll start with you.
I like it. In particular, I like the 18-inch wheels. I mean, we're not going for, dubs or spinning hubs on it, but I like it. It's more understandable. It's more recognizable. It also puts control back in the engineering of the vehicle and the suspension versus leaving those giant sidewalls to the tire manufacturer to manage. And so from a driver's and a car owner stand, I think they're going to love that.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think the underbody tunnels and the greater use of grip from the actual chassis means they can do away with all of the side pod clutter and the floors and whatnot that have sprouted on all Formula One cars in recent years. It's sleek. It's simple. Every team will have its own variation because that's not the actual car. That's the concept. And then all the engineers dig through the rule books and they try to do an end run about all of the rules because the classic phrase is, it tells you what you can do. The rules don't tell you. They tell you what you can't not do. They don't tell you what you can do. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think the design is inspired. I think we'll all love it when it comes along. There'll be bumps in the road, but I think it's a good direction for them to go in. And then keep in mind, in 2025, 2026, we'll get a new generation of Formula One powertrains. And those discussions are going on right now.
I cannot wait for those discussions.
So out at Circuit of Americas yesterday, I had a great time sitting with some of the folks that listen. And they brought up, what do you think about Porsche? Well, we've talked about it before. Well, Porsche was involved in helping define the power unit specs coming up and the technology. And so do I think they're going to come back to F1 on their own? No, I don't think we're going to see a Porsche branded car out there, but I would not put it past them to use the technology that they've learned in WEC and so many others and put power units out for somebody's use.
Mm. Hey, well, keep in mind, Porsche has announced a top flight endurance sports car program. They're going to have a, you know, Le Mans Daytona hybrid or hypercar or whatever they want to call it out there. And IMSA, the International Motorsports Association, who own the WeatherTech series, have announced that they and the Automobile Club of the West, who run the 24 Hours of Le Mans, are now in agreement about allowing these cars to run in both series. So the great days are coming for endurance sports car racing. But for a company the size of Porsche, managing that kind of a prototype effort and a Formula One program is kind of out of the question. But I like Les's idea. Somebody wants to write a big enough check, by God, we'll put a few engineers on it over at Luffinghausen or wherever. And don't put it past them to come up with something sweet.
Now, I'm like you, Les. I'm enthusiastic about having the Porsche brand back in Formula One. I just don't know how they'll make it work. If they can just keep selling SUVs, more and more, that's what we want.
Oh, gee.
Hey, going back to the 22 car, you know, I was talking about how Formula One's the cutting edge, the bleeding edge, everything. Well, we had to do something about the wheel size, Les, because we were running 13-inch tire, 13-inch rims. You can't be the cutting edge.
I've seen those on golf carts now.
Exactly. So, yeah. Hey, did you guys think about this? Bob, you mentioned IndyCar a couple times here. I saw an article, I think it was Auto Week, where they were talking about that IndyCar has made a mistake in this 5-week break? I mean, they kind of like, their point was that IndyCar has just fallen off the radar. What do you think about that, Bob, as far as, you know, 5 weeks, does it completely remove you from the landscape? Is that a bad thing?
Well, yeah, it's not ideal. I think anybody would agree. But the fact is their television partner is NBC, and they've got, you know, some contest going on over in Tokyo that they are going to devote all day, every day for 2 weeks to. So, IndyCar kind of had to move aside. And they canceled their Toronto race at Exhibition Place, which did them no good either. So, yeah, they've got like 5 weeks, I think the number is, before they race again on national television. And, you know, that's just the way it is. That's part of their deal with NBC.
Hey, Bob, we've just got a little bit of time, a couple of minutes left, but before we wrapped up, I wanted to ask you about Carlos Rodemann. I know that, you know, he passed away this past week at 79 years old. And I know you wanted to comment on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, Carlos Rodemann, one of the great names and one of the lesser appreciated names, I think, in Formula One. I never met the man, but my old pit reporter in the ESPN Formula One days was Peter Windsor, who had been a Williams team manager and who knew Carlos very well. In fact, when Peter and Ken Anderson decided to start the USF1 Formula One team back in 2010, Peter called on Carlos Reutemann, a 6-time Grand Prix winner, raced for 4 different terrific teams, but now a politician in his native Argentina. And Peter and Carlos together found the funding from the government, as I recall, of Argentina to fund driver Jose Maria Lopez, who was going to be one of the US F1 drivers before the whole project totally imploded. Of course, Lopez has gone on to fortune as an endurance driver with Toyota. But Carlos Reutemann was a great driver. His former teammates had nothing but good things to say about him, including Mario Andretti, who teamed with him at Lotus back in the day. It's a big loss. Carlos Reutemann, another historic race-winning figure from Formula One who is now, you know, gone to the ages.
Yep. Well, I appreciate you keeping us updated on that. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank the folks that are watching on YouTube right now. We got Christian and Winston and Justin and a few more, and I want to thank y'all for tuning in. We got some comments there, so we're going to start monitoring that as well. Thanks, everybody who tuned in on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere else. And if you don't mind, give us a like and give us a follow on those platforms. That'll help us out. And thanks a lot to everyone who called. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And of course, we will be Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Central every Sunday. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.